Hey, yo, say hello to the bad guy, Scott Hall.
Hey, this is Olympic gold medalist Kurt Angle from TNA. Oh, it's real. It's damn real.
This is Booker T, the five-time WCW champion, and you're listening to SNS Radio Network.
Yo, monkeys, it's me, TPP, the king of Bada Bing, the master of the diamond cutter, the three-time
world champion.
Stay tuned or you will feel.
Hey, you listen on the SNS Network, and that's the bottom line. The Stone Cold Set Show.
The world is listening.
Gee, I hope nobody is taping this.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, the SNS Radio Network is proud to bring to you the Open Book.
Did you see that? Did you see that coming?
Yes! Yes! Yes!
Where your source for all video game entertainment and wrestling news.
I know how to push your buttons too. I see everything you're going to do from a mile away.
With your host, Sensational Sequel, Sean.
And I am the voice of the voiceless.
And the British one, Ashley.
What's the matter, Danny? You never taken a shortcut before?
So sit down.
What?
Shut up.
What?
And listen, because story time is about to begin.
Tell me he didn't just say that.
Think your Commodore 64 is really neato? What kind of chip you got in there, a Dorito? You're using a 286, don't make me laugh. Your Windows boots up in what, a day and a half? You could back up your whole hard drive on a floppy diskette. You're the biggest joke on the internet. Your database is a disaster. Your wax and your modem, trying to make it go faster. Hey fella, I bet you're still living in your parents' cellar. Downloading pictures of Sarah Michelle Gellar and posting me too, like some brain dead AOLer. I should do the world a favor and cap you like old Yeller. You're just about as useless as JPEGs to Helen Keller. Crew, huh?
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
rule cyberspace and crunch numbers like I do. They call me the king of the spreadsheets. Got them all printed out on my bed sheets. My new computer's got the clocks, it rocks, but it was obsolete before I opened the box. You say you've had your desktop for over a week?
Uh-huh.
Throw that junk away, man, it's an antique. Your laptop is a month old?
Yeah.
Well, that's great. If you can use a nice heavy paperweight, my digital media is right protected. Every file inspected, no viruses detected. I beta tested every operating system. Gave props to some and others I dissed them. While your computer's crashing, mine's multitasking. It does all my work without me even asking. Got a flat screen monitor 40 inches wide. I believe that yours says Etch-A-Sketch on the side. In a 32-bit world, you're a 2-bit user. You've got your own news group, all told
trying to send a fax. But you get your CPU in a box of Cracker Jacks. Play me online, well, you know that I'll beat you. If I ever meet you, I'll control all the leech you.
That's right. What is the only thing that can be said after that song, especially with the fact that I was rapping in the background along with him? One of my favorite Weird Al songs of all time. And I love it. I mean, it's all about the Pentiums. That's one of the greatest songs. That song is especially dedicated to people like myself and to people like Bronx who work on computers, do all that stuff. I definitely think that is our intro theme, our mantra song. Gets us pumping. Yeah. So what's up, guys? This is, of course, one of the voices of the voiceless here on the SNS Radio Network. And I hope you all enjoyed my new liner that I actually had the producer extraordinaire drop in for me. Instead of my little thing of what it says, it now says, of course, we're having an issue. So, I mean, it's great to see that. So I love my... love my new little liner of punk saying Voice of the Voiceless. So, hope you guys liked it too. Of course, once again, this is The Open Book, and I am never alone. I always do have my co-host, the other voice of the voiceless. He is also the host of the whole indie show. He is, of course, the British one, Ashley. What's up tonight, man?
You're never alone except for that one episode in September last year when I was... which is free to set up. There's a free pre-show tomorrow at 7 Eastern. And then there's a free match at 3:30 p.m. Eastern on the Sunday. And if you like them both, you should be able to order in time to actually see the full stream at 4 Eastern.
Not a fan of Chikara, but I'll give them a chance. I mean, I'm going to give them a chance when I can probably download their stuff.
You can.
Well, I mean, through my sources.
Oh. You bastard. To be honest, considering what could happen on this show, like being the end of the world, at least in Chikara terms, it might be worth watching to see it live, because there may be no archive of the thing ever happening.
You never know what's going to happen, no matter what. Before... we get into anything, I do want to go ahead and say this. There's a lot going down in Tornado Alley right now. There's a lot going down in Oklahoma. Keep your thoughts, your prayers for everyone in that area. They do have their first confirmed deaths. So just keep your thoughts and prayers over there, guys. There's a lot going on, and it sucks, but it's nature. I mean, you can't really control nature. So Trey, if you're listening, brother, be safe. To JJ's family, be safe. If anybody out there has family, friends, I have a few friends in Oklahoma myself. Be safe, guys. Don't do anything stupid. So yeah. Tonight is going to be interesting. Tonight we're going to talk a little TNA. And it's funny because I watched my first TNA Impact for the first time in a couple months last night. And did you watch it last night, Ashley?
Yes.
Okay. Let me just ask this. And this is my fantasy stuff coming in. And it's just one of those things. Instead of Joseph Park running down, everybody's getting beaten down by Aces and Eights. Sting's about to get hit by the 3D. Instead of Joseph Park coming down, should they have waited? And as soon as that's about to happen, Abyss's new music hits, and out comes the monster Abyss, and he walks down to the ring and just destroys everyone and points at D-Von and just stands there for a second and points at him. D-Von backs out of the ring and just walks away. I mean, that would have been one of those moments for me where I would have popped. I would have been like, oh, they just broke the wall. They just showed that D-Von is afraid of the of Abyss. And it's just one of those things where I would have been like, I like that better than the ending we got. I mean, would you have changed it too? I mean, the ending was horrible.
The ending was, okay, we don't know what to do for an ending, so we'll just do a complete smorgasbord of who the hell knows what happened. And then we'll just have the Aces and Eights posing like they're doing some sort of, you know, college football hazing reunion or something.
We've all got our hands up.
Yeah. I think the whole Abyss thing would have been a lot better. It would have been had more fun behind it. Because
but Abyss and Joseph Park are two separate, different people.
Supposedly. Yeah, the ending match was just horrible. I mean, it was a great match, but there was no personality behind it. There was no pizzazz. There was nothing really for the fans. Because I have not seen a more bored set of fans in a long time. So, come on, TNA. Let's work on this. We need more pizzazz. Throw fireworks in the middle of the match. Have an exploding ring. What?
We need more Crelly.
No, because then we'll see some restraining orders taken out.
He's already complaining about the American beer. He's only been there for, I think, less than 6 hours, and he's already complaining about the alcohol.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Go back to England. But anyway, this is the open book. This is the first segment. We do talk wrestling in the first segment, and we do have a pay-per-view, apparently, this Sunday, which I didn't know about until 2 days ago. So I've been doing a lot of running around, making sure everything gets done. As usual, four down. Got to get our picks in. Got to check everything. So we are going to do the usual, where we're going to talk about the pay-per-view. And we are going to go through the pay-per-view, as usual. And we're going to start with the match you just spoke about a second ago, the six-man tag match. So let's see what we got here. Apparently, there it is. Okay, had to find it on four now. So we have Aces and Eights, Wes Briscoe, Garrett Bischoff, and who else is supposed to be in this match?
That's a good question. The promo said Doc. The picture said Anderson. So just to be on the safe side, somebody from Aces and Eights.
Everything I've seen has said Anderson. So we're going with Anderson in this one. Facing off against Magnus, Joe, and apparently a returning Jeff Hardy. Who knew? I didn't see him. Maybe I wasn't paying attention at the right time. I don't know. I've been playing a lot of XCOM. So this is a six-man match. Of course, this can happen by pinfall, submission, ref stoppage, DQ, countout, blah, blah, blah. Ashley, what do you see here?
I'm guessing that probably the Slammiversary will probably, if it doesn't start with this, it'll probably be somewhere in the middle. I think TNA will probably win this one. Team TNA, so we'll come together. Probably Jeff Hardy getting the win with a Swanton. By the looks of it, it is Doc. TNA's own website says Doc, yet their TV product said Anderson. Well done.
That's a little interesting. Okay. I see Team TNA. Since it's Jeff Hardy returning, I do see Team TNA pulling it out here and getting the win. Probably with Hardy winning. Even though it doesn't matter who's on the other team. Either way, Jeff Hardy's going to get the pin. So, apparently we're not the only people who agree with that. 100% of probably, 12 people who have put their picks in so far? Have gotten it. Can I actually see who's put their picks in? That would be interesting. I want to see that.
Well, I can't. I know that. I do not have the power.
I have the power. But apparently, no, I cannot. Oh, wait. Let's see. How many people are in our league? You know what? While I do that, I'm going to bring up the next match. And Ashley can talk about that. Singles match, TNA Gut Check Tournament Final for an entry into the 2013 Bound for Glory series. Okay. I have no clue. Okay. Jay Bradley versus Sam Shaw. Ashley?
Sam Shaw got into this only because Alex Silver got taken out by the Aces and Eights. So, seemingly getting a free pass for some bizarre reason. To be quite honest, Jay Bradley is the one I would consider like a heavyweight sort of build. I mean, we know that this person isn't going to win the Bound for Glory series. It's probably going to be AJ Styles or Abyss. They're the two strongest candidates for me. But I think Jay Bradley has impressed quite a bit in the indies, more than Sam Shaw has, because I think even Jay Bradley was in the National Pro Wrestling Day thing that happened back in February, from, you know, celebrating the best of indies and everything. So for that one, I'll probably say Jay Bradley.
Okay. I have no clue who either of these two people are, and I'm basically going to say I don't give a fuck. So there you go.
Go with my knowledge. And then you'll...
Sure.
Well, remember, I'm just bringing this up for the heck of it. Lockdown, I was number 4 for the entire site on 4Down.
True.
That was the one where I was getting the predictions right for everybody in the bloody Lethal Lockdown match as well. That shit was crazy, man.
Apparently, you are not alone. And by the way, 10 people have gotten their picks in. 10 people. Only 10 people. To Mac and chat, we will mention that in a second. We promise.
Yeah. We'll mention that on the picks.
Jay Bradley is apparently being picked as the winner by those 10 people who have done their picks. So there you go. I guess I'll choose that one too. Next match is last knockout standing match, number 1 contender for the TNA Women's Knockout Championship. Why couldn't this have been a triple threats, flip-dee-doo, strap on a pole match? I don't know. Mickey James looks healthy.
Okay.
Mickey James looks healthy. She looked healthy that last night. So yeah. Why is she not having a match?
Because she wrestled Velvet Sky 2 weeks ago. Well, a week. 10 days ago.
So?
They don't want to use Velvet for some reason. You know, apparently her knee couldn't cope, despite the fact she was wearing high heels. Paradox!
Apparently it's Gail Kim versus Taryn Terrell in a last knockout standing.
I don't even know if it's in the number 1 contendership.
That's what it said on Wikipedia, and I'm going with that. Since Wikipedia is always correct, you know.
Well, let's think about it as well. Gail Kim, a person who no-sells everything, versus Taryn Terrell. Yeah, I'm going to go Gail Kim. Probably because they already teased that she's going to be the next in contention. Although, from what the actions of Mickey last night kind of implies that Mickey's going heel anyway. So how can you have heel versus Gail Kim, who's clearly trying to be the mega heel?
True. True. Yeah, I'll go with Gail Kim for the moment, because I'm sure at Bound for Glory we'll see Gail Kim versus Mickey James in some sort of...
No, you'll see it before then. Come on. You've got 4 months between now and then. You've got to have the Knockouts title defended.
Ashlyn, between... This is TNA.
No. No. Even TNA is sensible in that way. The only titles they want you to forget about are the Knockout tag titles. That's it.
When was the last time we had a TV title match?
Yeah, but that's the TV title. That got crapped on. The knockouts, they know, is a mainstay of the thing. The TV titles had 59,000 different bloody names since, you know, it got introduced as the... What was it? The Globe, the Legends title.
Yes, TCG. He is high. We'll just leave it at that.
Wow. Straight edge is all hell, and I'm being considered as being high. TNA has to make some sense. You know, you don't have a show that goes for more than 3 hours on a pay-per-view. That makes sense.
Yes. All wrestling companies need to make sense. No. We'll get back to that later on. Brass sign chat. Hey, I'm the drug addict on the show. Yeah, we know. Back to what we're talking about. Yeah, Gail Kim will win. Blah, blah, blah. Next match, the one I am looking forward to, not because of the returner, but because of the other two in this match. It is the Ultimate X match for the TNA X Division Championship. Kenny King, who is the current champion, facing off against Chris Sabin and Suicide. Ashley?
Does this mean whoever wins this gets a shot at the world title? Or have we completely forgotten that stipulation that was introduced at Destination X? That'd be interesting.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm going to say for this one, I honestly think they might keep it on King.
Are you sure? Because we did just have a Suicide return.
Screw it, I'll go with Sabin. This is one where it could go any one of the three ways. It's just the question is trying. Obviously, if King gets pinned by either one of them, I think King still does have a rematch clause. He doesn't automatically drop out of contention. But then, of course, his rematch has to be in a triple threat, which makes no fucking sense.
Ha ha!
But then again, yeah. Well, ever since the rule change in X Division, that division has made no sense. It used to, but yeah. They basically do things from time to time where the things that don't make sense, and then the things that do go completely, okay, mop rag on a pole or something. So, yeah, I'll go with Hail Sabin.
Hail Sabin.
I didn't know TCG said in the chat.
Sure.
No, I was looking at the TNA website trying to see if there's anything that makes sense on that.
Because I want to be different, and because I'm only saying this on the show and I'm not going to make that as a pick for real, I'm going Suicide. Yeah. I said it. What? Suicide wins with jumping from the ceiling onto the ropes and then doing a swan dive onto the top of the X ropes and pulling the title off. Yes, I'm done with that. Next match. I'm going to get hate mail for this. Next match is a singles match for the TNA Television Championship. Finally, it is D-Von as the current champion facing off against Joseph Hark. Ashley?
Just because I think they're going to start kind of moving towards the foundations of Ace and Eight starting to fall apart, I think Joseph Park is somehow going to win the TV title. Also, because somebody that might actually wrestle with the TV title might actually, you know, have it now. I don't care, D-Von, if you are listening to this, in which you are, wow. But I don't care if you say, oh, creative never booked me in matches, so what am I supposed to do? Don't you have a voice, D-Von, or something, in this company? aside from all this kayfabe stuff, I'm saying, can't you bring up the fact, look, you're just having, you know, shitty segments involving Robbie E every week, yet you're not using me as TV title? So, yeah, get rid of him and let's have Joseph Park. And then he regenerates into Abyss.
I knew Joseph Park was a Time Lord. I knew it.
Why do you think he sweats so much? He's got two hearts.
I do pick Joseph Park also. Very interesting. Out of the 10 people who put their picks in, 5 picked Joseph Park, 5 picked D-Von. So there's a 50-50 split completely. I picked Joseph Park to win the title. You know what? This could be interesting. Let me throw this at you because I just remember something. TNA does have that weird rule that if a title is on the line and there's a DQ in favor of the challenger, the title changes hands. That's still the rule, right?
No.
They changed it?
Yeah. Again, things that did make sense now doesn't.
Because what I was going to say is have Abyss come down. Have him attack Joseph Park and then point at D-Von and just laugh. But I guess...
I'm trying to work out if there's anybody in the company that looks like Abyss.
Well, you can get somebody big. Yeah. Just get somebody big, have them walk out.
Somebody big with a mask. They can just keep their mouth closed as well. They don't have to show their teeth. They can just, like, go for...
Does he actually have 2 teeth missing?
Yeah. Well, Joseph Park doesn't, because apparently he's got a prosthetic pair stuck in.
Ooh.
But they're different people.
Hmm. Joy Ryan dresses Abyss. No.
Joseph Park has defrauded the name of the Abyss.
I do pick Joseph Park, though. Mind wipe and walkie. What's that?
Sorry, mind wipe and walkie for that dodgy Doctor Who joke.
So, yeah, there goes that. Next match. Wait, what? That's interesting. Apparently, Cyril and Disney in the chat says, I can see Park feuding with Abyss somehow down the road. What? Oh, wait. I think I just saw my mind walk off. It just said, fuck
it's shit. Kane versus Mask Kane. Oh, that means Luke Gallows is going to get fired from Aces and Eight and then become Masked Abyss.
Come back, brain. Come back. I need you. And it's flipping me off. Okay. Thanks, Disney. Thanks a lot. My brain just walked that way. Next match. This match I'm kind of interested in. It's a 4-way elimination tag team match for the TNA World Tag Team Championship. Chavo Guerrero and Hernandez, who are the current champions, facing off against Bad Influence, Christopher Daniels, and Kazarian, facing Austin Aries and Bobby Roode, facing James Storm and Gunner. And go.
James Storm and Gunner, because then James Storm will go out with probably like injury, or they'll probably have Storm and Gunner go head to head in the Bound for Glory series in some shape or form. I can see it coming.
That's history all over again.
Yeah, just because of the fact James Storm is apparently a little beaten up and whatever because of the way his. Over his knee or his leg was taped up last night. Makes me wonder whether he's going to be at full fitness. I'm guessing he at least will be doing a pretty good job. So I think just because I've seen enough of Chav, which is not, you know, the guys can wrestle, but I've just seen enough of Aries and Roode and Bad Influence and Chavo and Hernandez feuding over the tag titles for the past God knows how many months. Let's put somebody different and let's get different tag teams in.
Is it bad that I'm hoping for Bad Influence?
No, because that was my that's my second choice that I think will happen. I don't think Aries and Rude will do it, and Chavo and Hernandez, and I'm probably 60-40 edging more towards Storm and Gunner, but I can see Bad Influence doing it.
Sorry, somebody sent me a text. I just want to answer the text. I don't think they're going to give it to Austin Aries after his little shenanigan problem. So I think they're going to keep that away. I feel bad for Bobby Roode in that whole situation. Austin Aries is just a complete asshole for what he did. I would like to see Bad Influence get it because I think they deserve it. I think Christopher Daniels deserves to have those titles again. But if anybody does win, probably it'll be James Storm and Gunner. So we'll go with that. The next match is the one I'm probably most confused about. Well, other than the gut check one. Is AJ Styles versus Kurt Angle in a singles match. Now, please tell me how this came about.
Angle was sick of, you know, because obviously last week... it was implied that AJ Styles was going to be part of Aces and Eights, and he decided to hit Kurt Angle with a hammer. And then, of course, he turned on Aces and Eights and became his own man. Angle, you know, he was kind of not bothered the fact that he hadn't joined the bad guys. It was the fact that he hit him with a hammer.
Okay.
So basically, for that reason, that's what led to all the shit hitting the fan on last night's Impact. I think just to make him look strong, Styles is probably going to win because he needs to really end his losing. He needs to end his losing streak on pay per view anyway.
Well. He does have 5 months till he can challenge for the TNA title again. Will he?
Well, four.
Well, he has up till Bound for Glory. The question is, will he? Will he be in the Bound for Glory challenge or the Bound for Glory ladder?
AJ Styles will be in the Bound for Glory ladder, win it, and this was cemented ever since he lost. Was it Turning Point or Final Resolution last year? Ever since then, it's been set in stone that AJ will be world champion at Bound for Glory.
Yeah, so if TNA remembers their own stuff, I mean, that's the whole thing. If TNA completely forgets, then...
I think they have to, because I think they've had it planned for a year.
No, everybody knows that companies don't remember their own stuff. I mean, seriously.
Don't make me bring it back to Chicago. We got storylines for there going for like 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, but that's what, 3 people in the back?
Good question. I don't even know who books Chicago. So wherever it is, they're geniuses.
What in the world is Brass Eye? The only thing I can ask you is what the hell are you talking about in chat?
I mean... He said he was the official drug addict at the show.
Yeah, but that... I don't even... Oh, God, help us.
Cue Curb Your Enthusiasm music.
As the brain just going... Just keep walking, brain. Just keep walking. You don't need to see this.
Hey, if it keeps walking, it might come back around the world and meet you again.
I hope not. Just keep walking. I don't want anything. I don't want anything to do with it. Oh, Lord. Oh.
Brain is traveling to parts unknown.
The brain is going to the end of the world. That's where it's going. And it's going to meet Simon Pegg there. So, yeah, there you go.
It's going to go for a pint of beer? Wow.
Yep. It's going to do what I can't. It's going to go drink. So, with that, we are going to finish off.
It's your pick for Styles and Angle.
Yeah. AJ Styles. If it's not AJ Styles... It's going to be a no contest due to both of them get beaten down right now. Or beaten down. So that's what I see happening in that match. Then, of course, is our final match. And I do want to talk about this a little bit because it's the stipulation that they give it. A no-holds-barred match for the World Heavyweight Championship. We have Sting versus Bully Ray, who is the current champion. Apparently, there was another... If Sting loses, he can no longer wrestle for the TNA World Heavyweight Championship. Apparently, that was also thrown in. So, I want to talk about the stipulation. No holds barred. A lot of companies have taken it out of context and have used it as a no disqualification match, a hardcore rules type of match. No holds barred is only no holds barred. Chokes, eye gouges, low blows, stuff like that is the only thing that is legal. They can't go use a chair. They can't go grab tables. They can't use their baseball bats. They can't have people interfere with them. That is what a no-holds-barred match is. It is only for the holds. So I hope TNA remembers that.
This is TNA. We've already said it multiple times.
I know.
They don't normally make sense. So. You know.
But that's the thing. WWE's done the same thing. So if
it
they're going to go...
It probably means it's going to be no count. No, no pinfall. Well, no. No count outs. No DQ. That kind of thing.
And that's fine. I want them to say that, though. No disqualifications, no countouts, no holds barred. I want them to say it like that. Not, it's a no holds barred match, anything's legal. No, that's not what you say. So I completely disagree with that, and I hope that's not how they go.
Is the match going to feature Zeus?
Oh, no, I hope to God not. I really hope to God not. That would be probably one of the worst matches I've seen in a very long time. And I've seen some bad ones recently.
I'm just wondering whether TNA is booking this on purpose because Hulk Hogan has told them, look, No Holds Barred is going to be released on DVD for the first time in Europe at some point. I need to remind them that I actually did movies that were still rubbish, but, you know.
Oh, Lord. So what do you have going over?
Honestly, Bully Ray. You know, if they do have Sting go over, Bully Ray's probably going to win it in a rematch within the next month. I could see that happen to have the whole, oh my word, history's made. But I just think this is going to be kind of like the what we're getting to, like the fine, we're getting to the conclusion paragraph of the essay. And the first sentence is basically going to be, Sting lost his chance at ever being world champion again. Because he can still be in decent matches, obviously, because clearly at Bound for Glory, he's probably going to be part of Team TNA that's going to see off Aces and Eights once and for all. Except right. They've been in storyline for the pay-per-views up until February next year, which is a bit awkward.
Yeah, I see Sting losing this match. It's funny because 90%, so 9 people out of the 10 say that Bully Ray's going to win. One person said Sting, but all 10 people said there will be pinfall, and all 10 people said, yes, there will be interference. So it's kind of funny on that everybody agrees on that, but they can't agree with the first parts of it. So... And those 10 people, I do want to say thank you very much for doing your picks already. To everybody else, get your fucking picks in. That's all I'm going to say.
I waited because I didn't know whether it's Doc or Anderson. Apparently, Four Down says Anderson and everything else says Doc.
Now,
so I'm hoping there isn't an additional option saying who gets pinned. That could be
Let's see. 6-man tag, who will score the winning pinfall or submission? Who will be made to be pinned or submitted? So, Jeff Hardy gets pinfall. Mr. Anderson gets lost. There we go. Yeah, get your picks in, guys. Please get your picks in. I do, after this pay-per-view, I will be taking a look and I will start issuing warnings and I will possibly start kicking people out. I did take a look at the last one. There were some people in there that I have questionable doubts about why they did not do their picks. And it's bad because some of these people...
Don't say anymore.
No, I'm not going to say anymore.
Say about Sunday Night Showdown.
Yes, there will be a Sunday Night Showdown this Sunday. As of right now, I do know that Bronx will be doing the show. But who his co-host is going to be, we don't know yet. So maybe we'll find out tonight. Maybe we won't. Maybe we'll have to wait till Sunday. Maybe Bronx will tell us later. We don't know. So we will find out later on, definitely.
Keep an eye on the Facebook page.
Keep an eye on the Facebook page. Stay tuned right here. Listen to us. You may find out from somebody. I don't know. I don't know. Anthony and Chad ask a very interesting question. Why couldn't it be us again? Maybe soon. We don't know. I will say this. I have put my 2 cents in on I think that me and Ashley should do it again. But it's not my decision. It's not Ashley's decision. It's the decision of two or more people. So
I have a legitimate reason because my mind may have walked out of my brain after Shikara, like an hour before the TNA thing starts, and I'll be like, yeah, I can't deal with it. Just I don't know what the hell just happened.
So, I mean, I, to Bronx, if you're listening, we've talked, you know, I'd like to do it again. I'd love to have Ashley next to me doing it. Of course, it'd be great to,
because I'm in a different country.
You really had to say that. I was hoping to just let that go on.
Hell, technically, Krelly's nearer to you two. I pity you.
Yeah, so do I. I haven't had the chance to use my play-by-play skills in a while, so I'd like to.
Say that 3 times fast.
Go fuck yourself. How about that? I'll say that 3 times fast.
Okay, I'm out.
What? Okay. I hope that at sometime in the near future, me and Bronx can sit down, we can talk, we can get things figured out. But for now, it is politics. It's just one of those things we can't divulge. But I will say I'm looking forward to Sunday. I'll be listening either way. And he knows where to get in contact with me if he needs any help. So with that, we are going to take a break. Anything you want to throw in before we do take the break, Ashley?
No.
Okay.
So I had to think about it.
I don't think there's anything I want to throw in except for get your picks in, please. I do want to...
Fourdown.org.
Get your picks in. Don't get kicked out of the league. Blah, blah, blah. So we'll be right back with segment 2 here in a few minutes.
Wrestling fans, your ring announcer here, Sean Beckerman, and I'm proud to present to you the Pro Wrestling Nostalgia Podcast that's taking the IWC by storm beyond the bell. On each edition, we cover a different theme, taking you back in time to relive the greatest and worst in professional wrestling. We go behind the mic, where you will get backstage stories from the perspective of a pro wrestling ring announcer on the independent circuit. Find out what it was like to announce some of the greatest stars in pro wrestling history and the funny stories behind the scenes. And we wrap it all up with old school wrestling music. So tune in to Beyond the Bell each and every week on the SNS Radio Network. And I'll see you at the matches. It's go time.
ladies and gentlemen, Wrestling News Live is proud to bring to you a day in the life of Ric Flair.
Woo!
Today, right here, you gotta beat Ric Flair!
Rick, are you wearing that robe again in here?
Woo!
I told you, no one wears it in here but me.
Woo! Woo! Woo!
Rick, the dishes aren't done. Get the dishes done, Rick!
To be the man, you gotta beat the man, and I'm saying, woo, right here. I'm the man.
Or I'll show you who's the man.
I'll kiss your boots if you can do it. Woo!
That's it, pretty boy. It's on now.
Ooh. Ooh. Ooh.
We got a 22 deuce. That's a domestic disturbance over at 707 Cordalis Street.
This has been a day in the life of Ric Flair, brought to you by Wrestling News Live.
WrestlingOnline.com, the official news source of Wrestling News Live. You're looking for the latest news in the world of MMA and professional wrestling. Log on to www.wrestling-online.com and sign up for the largest and longest running newsletter on the internet today, with over 26,000 subscribers and over 3,000 issues. And the best part, just like WNL, it's free! Once again, that's www.wrestlingonline.com.
And now back to the open book on the SNS Radio Network.
Welcome back, guys, to the open book. Of course, I am one of the voices of the voiceless here on the SNS Radio Network. Sensational sequel, sensational spoiler, sensational Sean. I didn't get to say that in the first one, so I might as well say it now. And that was Super Mario 3, of course, one of the greatest games of all time, in my opinion, at the most. Of course, I am always with somebody. Somebody's always here with me, I guess, is the better thing to say. He is the British one. They host the whole indie show, some show that talks about Chikara. He is, of course, the British one, Ashley. You're still with me, right?
Yeah. It's not just Chikara with respect. It's just Chikara is kind of dominating everything over the last couple of weeks due to, you know, time travel and doppelgangers and Back to the Future and everything.
Which is funny you mention that, because we just had Memorial Day, of course, here in America, and on Memorial Day they actually had a marathon of some of my favorite trilogies. They showed the whole Back to the Future trilogy in on a channel called Encore, and then right after that they showed the entire Jurassic Park trilogy, and I was like, yes, thank you, I'm gonna lay in bed and watch these all day. And that's what I did. It was a good day. I miss that day. But anyway, this is segment two, of course. I'm going to send a text right quick.
Send a phone call?
Yes, I'm going to send a phone call. I meant to tell you I'm sending Curly's phone call to you to enjoy that conversation. Either way, let's jump into
our complain about alcohol. It's what he normally does.
Yeah, even if he calls in. We're not taking any phone calls on alcohol. Sorry. No drunk dialing us here.
Unless drunk people suddenly turn up in Mirror's Edge 2, in which L-Train will be all over it. Sorry, L-Train.
Unless it's some drunk hot girl, I don't care. Even then, I don't care, because she's drunk.
Can anybody in the chat do a female voice that's a man?
Well, Anthony sounds like a girl to begin with, so...
Oh, great, he's going to call in now.
Probably not. So let's jump in to our stories while... see, Anthony, that just even more sounds like a girl. I'm sorry.
No, I'm leaving that there.
Well, yeah.
How? The first time everybody saw me in chat, they thought I was a girl. And don't even bring that up, Sean. Bastard.
I still think you're a girl somewhat. I mean, it just depends. Oh, we need to start. Ashley, go ahead and start on your stories, please. I know you got a good amount.
Well, let's start with all the E3 rumors. Well, E3 news and E3 rumors. Notch has apparently been invited to Sony's E3 conference in the shape of being sent a gold PlayStation 1. Actually, by that, I should say PS1. It's not the original PlayStation. It's like the miniaturized one that they did, kind of like how they did with the PS2 and the PS3 down the line, which is a pretty sweet invite. But speaking of Notch as well, Scrolls, the game that he kickstarted and did pretty well, will be coming to open beta this Monday, June 3rd, for $20. I think it's to all platforms. I think it's PC, Mac, and Linux. I'm not sure. I think it is.
I believe so.
Yeah. So check that out. I'm trying to remember what Scrolls is.
I don't think I'm going to play it. I'm a huge Mojang fan, I will say that. But I'm not looking forward to this one. It doesn't look like it's going to be that great of a game. It looks like it might be that good, so I'll probably play it, but I'm not going to buy it straight off. It's a tactical RPG, so take that for what you will.
Yeah. Okay. So, also had a report... Well, this broke earlier in the week, which I was confused about. The Sega Spectrum has been announced, or teased. I think it was on Sega's Japanese website. And I think it's supposed to be the 11th of June, which is the same time Nintendo has their E3 Direct thing. And whatever. So it could tie into that possibly. What it is, I don't know. Clearly they've done a partnership deal with Nintendo for the time being. So it could be something along those lines. It's really hard to tell. It's just there. Some people immediately went, oh my god, it's Dreamcast 2. And it's like, if it is, that's a bit of a surprise. It could be like... I'm guessing Spectrum could be Sega's own digital service. Kind of trying to do an EA and a Ubisoft. I could possibly see that happening. But expect more to be revealed in a week or so at E3.
Hold on. Oh, if it's another console from Sega, haven't they learned? I mean, yeah, Dreamcast was one of the greatest systems that came out during its time. It was ahead of its time. But if you're doing another console, where's the money coming from? I mean, you have no money. So I question where that money's coming from.
They've stolen it from the Sega toilet. Which does exist, people. Find it. TOYLET. They spelt it differently, but my God, that's the weirdest game console ever. Apparently, regarding some new console stuff, which are probably revealed at E3, even though one has already been revealed, Xbox One will be region locked. They've said that outright.
Before you jump onto your soapbox, and before you jump into your I told you so, so is the PS4. So was the Xbox 360. And I believe so was the PS3.
No.
It wasn't?
PS3 was region free.
It's interesting, because...
PS3 was region free. Xbox 360 always was region locked. So they're trying to make a big thing about, oh, the Xbox One is region locked. Really? 360 was. Xbox was. No. Why change a good thing that's clearly still worked for them?
Yeah, region locked. I'm fine with having region locked and completely. Because why are you going to order games from another country anyway? Seriously.
Well, if they only get released in certain countries.
Yeah, but then you have to go through and find the... If you order a Japanese RPG, you then have to go through and find somehow to translate that game.
No, but I'm talking about, I don't know, say for instance, I know it isn't region free and it's a bad example, but Scribblenauts Unlimited still hasn't come out in Europe. Ironically, there was something that I picked up just now. Apparently, there is a rumored release date of like end of July for Europe. But as of now, there's still no Stonewall confirmed date for it, which could mean that Scribblenauts Unmasked, the new one that's coming this holiday, may have come out before Scribblenauts Unlimited ever came out, especially with the whole Nyan Cat and Keyboard Cat copyright infringement lawsuit that's going on.
Yeah, we're still talking about Japanese RPGs.
No, but I'm trying to... I know what you mean with that, but certain games were also released only in America.
And that's true, and that's completely true, but it's the fact that the... More people are going to go for the Japanese RPGs because of the fact they're Japanese RPGs. They want those more so than anything else.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So it comes down to the fact, are you going to have multiplayer? Are you going to have the ability to order your Japanese RPGs like you have in the past, pay your extraordinary amounts, or are you going to have to wait till it's released in America, if it is released in America? So... I don't know. Just one of those things to me.
Yeah. We'll see. Now, those of you interested in the PS4, couple of interesting rumor speculation things coming out. One saying that the PS4 will, like the Xbox One, be regulating used gaming and used pre-owned games of sorts.
Ooh. Really?
I'm honestly not surprised about, considering at least in concept wise it looks to be relatively similar, in which you put in the disc once and you'll just play it off the cloud and everything, or your system, depending where you install it to. And then also it's not mandatory for all games, but the likelihood is that quite a lot of PS4 games will support remote play for the PlayStation Vita. Now, that isn't the whole idea of you can play on your Vita like when you're on the bus or the train and then go to your console and then continue from where you left off. Basically, your Vita will become a new controller rather than using the PS4 pad.
That sounds interesting, but I'm not sure.
But again, this is all rumor. Hopefully we'll find out more when we get to 10, 11 days' time, when E3 reveals it as much as possible anyway. I hope. Actually, no, it actually starts next Thursday with Konami. And that's a story that I didn't even mention in the bloody pre-show that I completely forgot about, because I remembered it then. So I'll leave it till last, because it's pissed me off. Apparently with the Vita as well, you will be apparently able to stream the E3 press conference on it in some shape or form. I think they said on somewhere on Sony site, they said somewhere, somehow, you will be able to stream the conference on Vita. For a minute, I thought they were going to go into a Barbra Streisand song or whatever it is. Can't remember. The, trying to think which... Yeah. Here's all the stuff that now from this past week that's basically leaked out through God knows what. There's been a driver update for AMD... Well, is it AMD chips or is it computers or...
It's probably a chipset.
Yeah. There's been an update to the drivers for them anyway that seems to contain in the coding for it Worf and Nosgoth. Again, fueling speculation that a new Legacy of Kain / Soul Reaver / Blood Omen, whatever you want to call the series, will be heading its way possibly soon. Which I'm not against, because they were pretty damn good games.
Yeah.
Amazon Italy now has apparently listed Mirror's Edge 2. And then a help page mysteriously appeared on EA's own website, but has now been taken down for Mirror's Edge 2 as well. Wait. And then one that really was surprising, because they haven't done it before, Amazon Canada quickly listed and then delisted a special Game of the Year edition of Call of Duty Black Ops 2. Because I don't think they've... The last Game of the Year edition they did, I think, was Modern Warfare 1, wasn't it? Call of Duty 4.
I don't
remember Modern Warfare 2 or 3 or the Black Ops or World at War getting Game of the Year editions.
I don't think they did.
So, it's an interesting situation there. Another thing that seems to be cropping up at E3 is the new game from Reflections, the guys that brought you the Driver series, Stuntman as well, but the last one was Driver San Francisco. Apparently, the code name for the thing is called The Crew, and it is confirmed to be in some shape or form at E3. So expect to see that at Ubisoft's press event. I'll skip that one for till later. Limbo will be coming to Vita next week, which is always good because that is a very what's the word I'm looking for? Hidden gem, I guess. I don't know how many people have actually played Limbo, but it's very good, very creepy and everything. And Mac, I'll be getting to that. EA is going to be phasing out. Can't read either. They're phasing out their online passes from now, which means that some stuff that was originally behind kind of like paywalls for online passes and everything is now free. So I think there was a post put up on the Facebook page about it. For those people that have Alice Madness Returns for the consoles, they can play the original Alice. I think Mass Effect 2 has now got its thing pulled down. It's going to be phased over weeks and months, so eventually FIFA and everything will be going. And all the other sports games. Also, another Xbox report saying that this is from Phil Spencer, the VP of Microsoft Studios, I think. The Xbox Live Arcade will not be on 360. Will not be on Xbox One. You'll have to keep your 360 in order to play those games.
For now.
But the thing is, that's, as with all Microsoft stuff, that could be completely wrong.
You never know what's going to happen. I mean, they could come out and say, you know, yeah, we're going to do it. You never know. Completely.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, just wait.
Yeah. A couple of games that have been majorly delayed. One, not surprisingly, Blizzard's Project Titan will now not be coming out to at least 2016. and kind of surprisingly, considering we have seen trailers for it already and we haven't for Titan, Prey 2 has been delayed to 2016 as well, but apparently Arkane Studios, who did the excellent Dishonored, are apparently on board working on it now. So, which leaves me good, leaves me excited, because obviously the stuff they've done in the past with the BioShock 2 multiplayer and everything should be good.
Definitely.
So now the big things. Konami has basically said that on Thursday's pre-E3 video that they're going to be putting out, they're going to reveal the new voice of Snake in Metal Gear Solid 5. Fuel to the conspiracy is David Hayter put up a tweet saying, "I'm really looking forward to E3. I just hope I don't lose my voice, winky face." Fueling the speculation that he's worked the entire internet again. Good old Hideo Kojima and him. They're like, they must be best buddies now or something. But no. Even if you did look at it and they did ditch him, it didn't really make sense because the guy that did the Japanese voice of Snake is doing Japanese Big Boss and whatever.
Yeah.
And vice versa. So. But yeah, that's making me look forward to next Thursday, and we'll probably report on that next week because otherwise the E3 show will be about 15 hours long rather than 10. Curiosity finally finished with a UK winner from somewhere in Scotland, I believe. Yeah, Brian Henderson from Edinburgh. He was the guy that opened the centre of the cube. Obviously, it was his option whether to share what was inside that cube to everyone. He decided to, because all the time, the secret award in the middle was said to be life-changing. And we, thanks to him saying that he wants it publicly shared, we now know what it is. He is going to become God in Goddess, their new project for PC and iOS platforms. So basically, as God, he'll be able to decide the rules under which the game is played and even partly share in the success of the product, because every time people will spend money on it, Brian will be getting a little, you know, slice of the profits and whatever. But it's now developed over the last couple of days that the god role will only be temporary.
Yep.
It's not specified how long as to when it will be, but eventually, at some point in the time when his rule as God expires, players will be able to overthrow the God and then become the God. Whether they actually get the rights of the slice of the profits, I'm not sure. But
Ashley, I'm going to stop you for a second. I want you to finish the story, but I want you to, for Mac, I want you to go and do it for Mac. Right. I want you to go ahead and do the conversation or talk about The Last of Us demo after the story.
So then he can go to sleep.
Yes. I want Mac to be able to go to sleep happy.
Yeah. So. But apparently all decisions that the God will make will be via an in-game dashboard once a week and through direct communication with the developers, so he won't be able to just do whatever the hell he wants. But it's still an interesting option. Also, they've kind of reopened their Kickstarter with a late believer tier for, I think, $20. And with that, you get a digital copy of the game when it comes out. And I think, like, a PDF version of an art book or an instruction manual. Something like that. So, the last story will be ditched for a bit because time to talk Last of Us. There's, of course, an irony. Those of you who bought God of War may have played the demo already if you haven't suffered from the fact that the system couldn't cope with everybody going online at the same time wanting to play it.
Hold on. I want to mention something Mac just said. Mac says, quick, worst movie you've ever seen. It's pretty simple. It's Anthony Farley's life story.
Oh my God. What is that? God.
Just because I can't for today. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I don't know. Well, I haven't seen movie 43. But yeah, Last of Us. Sorry. Turns out, you know, the thing they were advertising is, oh, the demo that's going to be available to people in the shops is going to be exactly the same. Oh no, sorry, it's going to be completely different to the demo that's going to be released as part of the God of War thing. Turned out, it was pretty much the same. Basically, the demo that I played was in daytime and about 40 to 45 minutes long. The demo that's on God of War is about 20 minutes long and is in darkness, so it's a different atmosphere. Basically, I played double the demo that everybody's like complaining on the web going, oh my God, why is the demo so short? I'm like, you should have come over to the UK, people. It's just, oh, it's so if you have played the demo or if you haven't, I'll explain it. We start off in, I think it's Philly. I don't know. Somewhere there's some sort of Capitol building. I can't remember. I don't think it mentioned like in text where it was. So, you know, there was no caption saying what city it was. All I remember is like with the demo, the option's called the outskirts. And you basically go into this tower block style building and find out about the infected and these clickers, which basically, they've become poisoned with this like fungus, and eventually over time the fungus starts growing out their head and making them blind. And then, this is described as well by whoever the woman is that isn't Ellie in the game. I can't remember her name, but she says that basically they click to do like echo sound location, like a bat, to work out where things and people are. Then there's a nice jump scare in the demo. It's just both in the one that you can play and the one that I played. And then you actually get to an actual clicker, and you can take it down however you want. Although, to be honest, with the scarcity of parts and stuff and bullets, always try and go for stealth if you can. The sneaky thing with the clickers is as well, if they get near you, it's one hit kill. Which frustrated quite a lot of people at the session that I went to, because I think they thought it was Uncharted and thought they could go guns blazing. Which, when you get to the later bit of the demo, when the runners appear, which are basically people that haven't been that badly affected yet, they can still see people, and they're quite, when they see you, they're kind of like maniac runners. But with them, you can actually strangle them to kill them. You can get up close and kill them. With the clicker ones, you can stealth kill them as long as you have a shiv, which is basically, you know, there's different parts. You can get blades and sharp stuff, alcohol, rags, and the rags and alcohol make first aid kits and Molotov cocktails. Binding and I think blades, which can improve your melee weapon, or you can make shivs from it to basically do short stealth kills. You've also got batteries. Now, in the mode that we had, the battery was on continuously. In the demo that's on God of War, by the looks of it, your battery will run out. In order to charge it up, you actually shake the PS3 controller, and it recharges the battery. Which is an actual nice use for the six-axis and the everything, for a change. So, you get to that point, and you get to a room where there's runners and clickers. Occasionally, you can actually use it. and do it in such a way so that the clicker actually takes out the runners. You've got to do it in a very particular way, though, to actually get the clicker swinging and hitting the zombies. Not the hitting the zombie, hitting the runners, sorry. As soon as you pretty much kill the last clicker, the God of War demo finishes. The one that I play goes on a bit further. You progress a bit more. You progress further on into the level, and then you get to like this underground station, of which there was a note with this, oh, we've got to meet at the building. Then just right in the left corner, it said, girl, 4'8", black hair, red top. Which made me go, okay, that's a bit odd. Let's see what goes on there. But you eventually get into, like, the concourse of this station. And there are multiple clickers and multiple runners in here. Also, there you do find a shotgun. So you can do shotgun kills, but obviously then everything starts coming towards you. Okay, you've got Ellie and the other woman to assist, but they can only do so much, and you've still obviously got the clickers that can do one-hit kills. The main idea is to basically craft as many shivs as you can, because they are going to be the lifeblood of you trying to get through stealthy and save up your bullets. Obviously, I'm guessing you couldn't change the difficulty mode on the demo that I played, but you can in the from easy to normal to hard, I believe. There might be Survivor, I'm not sure. You can all, but you got to that bit, and then you got back outside, heading close towards this building that you're going to. But you've got to get over a lorry, and then you go into another building where there's some runners. And then you get over that, start pulling open a chain pouch, you know, a chain ring to open up a lift, not well, like shed doors kind of thing. Kind of like on, what do you call it? I don't know. I'm trying to think. I can't remember. I don't know what the right terminology is. So, that's where the demo finished for me, which was a nice little, oh my word, let's see what happens. But, the one thing which kind of did seem to have upset people a bit, because it's like a cheat, is the listen mode, which if you press R2, basically you go into stealth, you know, you crouch down, but you can see the enemies. So you can see the clickers, you can see the runners through walls and everything, which is a nice thing, but obviously some people, there is an option to completely turn it off even if you're in easy mode. Yeah, in survivor mode, I think it's mandatory locked off. You can't turn it on. But if you're in easy mode or any of the other modes, you can switch it between the two. But overall, from what I played, if I had a PS3, I would probably pre-order it 4 times. I was that impressed by it. I did like the fact that everybody was treating it as if it was like an action game, when the whole idea is it isn't. It's about survival. And the best thing, there are apparently some bits of the game where you will be able to go through certain levels without killing a single infected person. I'm guessing that could hint towards achievements and trophies and all that. So, overall, I'd say the demo doesn't really give you a full experience of what it's like, which is a shame. But,
well, that's what demos are supposed to do. They're supposed to give you a taste. Just a little taste, enough to pull you in.
Well, if we're talking at this like a bowl of soup, The demo that's on God of War is like you've had three spoonfuls and then it's taken away.
Okay, so it's like a...
The
like
one
a,
that I played, you, what, the one that I played, you've pretty much finished the soup. It's a nice starter. Wow, yeah, we've gone into restaurant critic stuff now.
Well, see, I think the one on God of War is probably the one that most people are going to have their chance to play.
Yeah.
But I think the taste is what everybody wants. They want that little bit going in. And then...
I mean, hell, that's why the pre-owned value of God of War Ascension is still sky high. Because people are just buying it now so they can play... They were bought it new to buy it, to get the Last of Us demo anyway, but... The fact that, even though the game is still out, you, some places you can buy the game new for the same price as pre-owned. That's how in demand it is.
See, it's funny. Conversation like this came up at work the other day about Last of Us. I went through my pre-order list with my friends there, and the store manager looked at me for a second and was like, why don't you have Last of Us or Beyond Two Souls on there? And I'm like, well, I don't think either game is going to be amazing. And, I mean, let me just preface that right quick before everybody jumps on my case. My list, I'm only allowed to have 10 games on my list. And we have to remember, I'm a big PC... Mac, really? Let's not even start there, okay? You just hold yourself for a second. We have to remember that I'm a big strategy fan on the... You know what? Fuck y'all. Straight up, fuck y'all. I'm a big strategy fan on the PC. So I pre-ordered Company of Heroes 2, and I pre-ordered the next expansion to Civilization. Well,
what about Rome Total War 2?
What's that?
What about Rome Total War 2?
I'm not looking forward to it as much.
Okay.
I like Company of Heroes because it is building. Rome isn't. It's not much of a builder. I like base building and stuff like that. Also on my list is... Mac and Chad, real quick. I pre-order my PC games because of the fact that when I do pre-order, we do get bonuses. The only one I'm not getting bonuses for is my Civilization game. Company of Heroes, I'm getting tanks and stuff like that. So yeah, I'm going to pre-order. I get them digital, but also I like to get my stuff in store. I like to have the disc. That way, if I do have a problem with the game, I can install it physically and then update digitally. So it's a little, there's two folds for it behind me. Also on my pre-order list, Assassin's Creed 4, Call of Duty Ghost, Battlefield 4. Do I have my list? I mean, I've got most of the major games coming out this year. The only games I don't have at this moment, as soon as I can, I am going to pre-order Last of Us. I will go in and pre-order because I am going to play it. But as far as I can tell, I won't have my PS3 that much longer. As soon as they start offering deals for pre-orders for the Xbox One, I'm trading stuff in.
Just before we go any further, related to the pre-order Last of Us, there is a season pass coming for Last of Us, which will have three pieces of DLC, one which will be single player, two will be multiplayer, which, considering Last of Us is confirmed for E3 and they haven't revealed a single thing about multiplayer yet, I think that could be one of Sony's big reveals. 4 days before the actual reveal of the game, they're actually going to have something to do with the actual multiplayer. Which is a bit of a late announcement, but which it kind of implies that it's a last minute addition of sorts, but probably not. But the season pass will feature, you'll get perks for day one, so you'll get faster reload for your 9mm or your pistols. You'll get a bigger capacity ammo clip for your rifles. You get the chance to craft shivs and health kits quicker. And you'll also get a 90-minute like making-of documentary as well. It's a pretty sweet deal.
I love the fact that this is not an updated list. Okay, This is what I have according to GameStop, the GameStop app. Assassin's Creed Black Flag, Company of Heroes 2, Sid Meier's Civilization 5, Brave New World, XCOM, Call of Duty Ghost, and the Collector's Edition GameStop exclusive Grand Theft Auto 5. I have the Bureau of XCOM, yes, I do. That's going to be amazing. I also do have Destiny, Battlefield 4, Watch Dogs. So I have several. I have a lot of the major games. I really do. So, yeah. So when I get the chance, yes, I will end up pre-ordering Last of Us as soon as they let me pre-order more stuff. So, what's your other story, Ashley? I know you have something else.
The Nintendo Best Buy thing.
Yes, we need to do that. Crap. I just had that list, too. Where'd it go? Ow. Sorry about that.
I'm trying to find the actual Best Buy page where it's listed, because it's 89 stores in America and 21 in Canada.
So Canada's actually getting it?
Canada, 21 stores in Canada will be getting the thing as well. Consumers will be able to sample them from 4 till 8 p.m. their local time on Wednesday, June the 12th, and 1 to 5 p.m. on Saturday, June the 15th.
Okay, well, let me take a look real quick. I mean, there's a lot of these are major cities, too. I mean, it's not that we're going small city. I mean, it's funny. I really love the fact there were 4 locations in North Carolina: Cary, Fayetteville, Pineville, and Winston-Salem. They are not that major of cities. Yeah, Raleigh, Charlotte, Greensboro, all of these aren't on there. But I do find it interesting that Fayetteville, which is a Army base, is getting it. So I'm going through this list. I mean, New York City's not getting it, but Long Island City is. Which is kind of funny. Oklahoma City is getting it. Knoxville, Memphis, and Brentwood, Tennessee. Virginia Beach, Virginia. Go back over to the top. Kissimmee, Florida. Miami, Florida. Pensacola, Florida. I mean, this is just a basic list. And Ashley is going to post a full list on the Facebook page, I believe.
I'm trying to see if I can find the 21 Canadian stores as well.
Really? I'm
doing that quickly now. Yeah.
I do have a list if you want that link.
Oh, with the Canadian ones as well?
No, I apologize. No.
Yeah. I'm trying to find the Canadian ones now. I've got the list of the 89. I'm just trying to find. It's complicated, you know. There's so many Best Buys.
Yeah, but there's only one Circus City. How about that?
So,
I have no clue who the female is in Crowley's picture. I'm going to take a wild guess and say it's the next person to give him a training order.
Wow.
Sorry. I don't know. I have no clue. I'm sorry, I'm just looking at other stuff on the Facebook page. I really need to get off the Facebook page right now.
Oh, Max saying, what are they demoing? They kind of put a teaser image as well up on their website, which seems to be pointing towards 3D Mario. Oh, no, this might be to do the E3 press conference, so definitely. Definitely it's going to be Wonderful 101, definitely Pikmin 3, and definitely New Super Luigi U.
Got it. I got the list.
Oh, good.
Ontario, North York, Toronto, Mississauga? I have no clue. Windsor, London, Ottawa, Kingston, Brampton, Oakville. Quebec is Montreal, LaSalle. Manitoba is Winnipeg. Saskatchewan is Saskatchewan. I hate these names.
Saskatchewan.
Saskatoon. It's a schoon. It's a tune. Alberta is getting Edmonton and Calgary in two locations. So there you go, JJ. British Columbia is getting Vancouver, Langley, and Richmond. And Nova Scotia is getting Dartmouth. So there you go.
So basically, the big cities in Canada are getting them, but America, we'll just do it whatever the hell we want.
Yeah, pretty much. That's what it's looking like. I mean, it's kind of funny. Linwood in Washington, that's kind of funny. That's pretty hilarious. Houston, Texas, and Austin, Texas. That's not surprising. King of Prussia, Pennsylvania. Why have they not changed that at all? I can only wonder. I need to go do a history lesson on that one. I mean, it's pretty funny what this list is. Outside of Philly is what Brass Eye says. So Brass Eye, I would like to know why it's still called King of Prussia when it's American. Just one of those things. You got Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. There you go. Brass Eye was just typing something and decided not to. And now Ashley and Brass Eye are typing something.
Just because they're lazy at changing names.
Of course he does. Why? I want to know why. That's the only thing I'm going to ask. Any other stories you want to talk about?
No.
Kind of fast on that, aren't you?
No, it was because that was it. That was my last story.
Apparently, IGN's gotten wind of the... Yes, I do know you have a city called Intercourse. Yes, I remember that. There's a dirty name in North Carolina, too. I don't know why. Ashley, I still want to know why, by the way. So when you get a chance, give me that message. Apparently, IGN's gotten word of the online retailers listing the Xbox One pre-orders and the PS4 pre-orders. I do want to say that both are being priced at the same.
Can I butt in here for a second?
Yes.
I have the absolute stupidest reason why it's still called King of Prussia, Pennsylvania, and this will give you a hint as to how Pennsylvanians work.
Okay.
King of Prussia, Pennsylvania is named after a bar.
Is it really?
King of Prussia, Pennsylvania is named after a tavern named the King of Prussia Inn, which was itself named after Frederick II, King of Prussia.
Well, I knew that part.
So, yeah, the actual city is named after the bar that was in the city.
Huh. That's...
Welcome to Pennsylvania. We're all inbreds.
Yeah. So, yeah, apparently the online retailers are placing both consoles, the Xbox One and the PS4, at $912. That's Amazon UK, £599.99, I believe. But then apparently Amazon Germany does separate both. Really? To apparently the Xbox One costing $1,300 and the PS4 costing $781. Really? The Zavvy, which apparently is another online site, is saying that it's going to be $607 American. So it's weird that they're both coming out with all these weird prices, but there is the rumor coming around now that prices are being let out, that a subsidized version of the Xbox One will be $299, and that another is going to be $499. Most likely it's the one with the 500 gig. So there's so many prices here, I don't know. No one knows exactly what prices. I'm not sure. What do you think, Ashley? What do you actually see as the prices? I mean, let's go ahead and speculate right now. What are you seeing as prices?
From what I heard from the UK people, it's going to be £400 for both. Because they don't
want to do them.
How much
is £400?
Well, that's the thing. In currency terms, mainly just because they don't want to make the same mistake, that might be about $400, $450. They'll just negate, you know, currency conversion and all that. Because I don't think neither of them want to do a $600 console. Because we saw how well the PS3 did with that back in the day.
Yeah. Yeah, I really question the prices right now because they're saying a lot of stuff.
Wait until they announce it. Wait until they announce it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm waiting for the announcement. I think we're going to see a $400 console. I really do. And I'm fine with that. $400 is fine. But if it's $500, $600, no. You're going to get me next year. You're going to see me next year buying one. I'm not going to deal with it. So, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. I do love the fact that the chat room has changed from gaming to the entire conversation on Doctor Who. It's very funny that's changed. And if I could, I would talk it, but I'm not going to talk it today because I have some speculation on what's going on and at the fact that Doctor Who may be coming to an end. Yeah. Just saying it now. Taking a look at some of the stuff on Game News HQ. Apparently Doodle Jump is coming for the Kinect. It's going to be hitting Xbox Live Arcade next month. Dragon Age 3 has popped up on the same Italian Amazon that Mirror's Edge 2 popped up on. It popped up on it as a Xbox One exclusive game. So I need to. Yeah, I don't. I don't, Brassai. I really don't know them like you guys do. This is funny. And actually, I want your opinion on this one. Apparently, there's going to be a documentary that is going to go out, and it's going to find the dig site for the E.T. extraterrestrial game for Atari 2600. Have you heard about this?
This is going to spoil the plot for the Angry Video Game Nerd movie.
Apparently,
if they find it.
Apparently, city commissioners in Alamogordo, New Mexico, have possibly given the okay to excavate a garbage dump to see. Well, okay, let me read this. City commissioners in Alamogordo may excavate one of the world's most notorious bad video games, E.T. the Extraterrestrial, for the Atari 2600, or at least they'll find out if 9 semi-trucks ever actually buried millions of games there and then filled them over with concrete. Joe something, who ran a garbage company in 1983, the year Atari arranged to dispose the merchandise in the landfill, claims he knows where the dump site is. Now, the city commission has struck a deal with Fuel Industries, a Canadian film and production and entertainment company, to dig up the games in that location and make a documentary about it. Fuel Industries has 6 months to search the site, all during the 30th anniversary of the famous event.
Are they just trying to dig it up so they can get them and then put them in consoles to see if they work or some shit like that? I don't get it.
No, because they want to prove the urban legend wrong or right. So it's just one of those things.
So basically, this is a special episode of Mythbusters.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Except it doesn't involve science. It's more like an archaeological dig.
Yeah. One of those things. Infinite Crisis, if you guys didn't know, is the new MOBA style, which is a... I'm not sure what MOBA actually stands for. I apologize. Has actually been picked up by MLG. So that game is going to be on MLG. It's going to be pretty cool. the CD players actually playing with that.
Major Online Battle, something, I think.
Yes.
Legends is a MOBA, isn't it?
Yes, Massively Online Battle Arena.
That's what I vaguely remembered something.
I'm trying to find some good stories, but it doesn't seem like I'm really getting... I do apologize to everybody. I've had a long week, so it's one of those where I don't get to actually pick my stories up until the night of. That's kind of funny. Apparently, the Man of Steel trailer has been recreated in Minecraft. World of Warcraft movie filming is set to start in early 2014. What is this? Rhode Island is holding their public hearings over 38 studios, exploring a loan default, which means we're not going to hear the end of 38 studios.
They will never die, except they already have.
Oh, yeah. This is something we did talk about. Batman Arkham Origins box art has appeared. We didn't speak about this.
Is it because it has Batman on it?
Well, I mean, it looks really cool. One cover actually has what appears to be most of the villains and a lot of the thugs on here. I mean, we see Deathstroke, we see Deadeye, we see the Penguin, Black Mask. Is that the Joker? I don't know if that's the Joker or Solomon Grundy. I can see several characters who I think are in there on half of the face, and then you have Batman's usual scowl on the other side. So, I mean, it's just one of those things. I mean, it looks like a really good box art. I've got it pre-ordered. I'm going to buy it, yes. I'm looking very forward to it. I don't have anything else, unfortunately. Don't see anything else. I'm getting texts left and right, so I need to answer some of these. I don't have anything else, guys. I apologize. Bethesda picked up, of course, Prey 2, as Ashley talked about earlier, which should be interesting. But the fact that somebody picked it up and is finally saying something about it is a good thing. So we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back with segment 3 here in a second. So enjoy Red 2 music.
Hey guys, it's Mr. Money on the Mic, JJ, all caps Sexay of the SNS Radio Network. If you're looking for the latest news in professional wrestling and, of course, some of the best columns on the World Wide Web today, visit headlocks2headlines.com. That's headlocks, the number 2, headlines.com. It's the official news site of the SNS Radio Network. You should make it your official news site as well. Once again, www.headlocks2headlines.com.
Hey, wrestling fans, do you want a break from the day-to-day ins and outs of the WWE, TNA, and Ring of Honor? Do you like talk radio that pulls no punches? And do you like your sci-fi and fantasy? Well, tune in to the Elite Force Podcast each and every midweek, with Chuck W. And each weekend with William Walkie Walker and Mind Wipe. Exclusively on the SNS Radio Network and the Chris Jones Gaming Network. Yeah.
This is going to be fun.
Does listening to Wrestling News Live make you a smarter, more knowledgeable wrestling fan? Would the Trey Dog drink Velvet Sky's bathwater?
Well, hello there, Velvet. That is some good bathwater, baby.
Ow. Listening to Wrestling News Live does make you a smarter, more knowledgeable wrestling fan, although it will not save you any money on your car insurance.
Every Thursday, the SNS Radio Network gets in the ring and starts running the ropes.
When I caught SmackDown again. I caught Skip Sheffield's gimmick, and I couldn't help but to think that his new gimmick sounds like an Arby's roast beef sandwich.
Join Brian Maverick Bertrand and Chris Kelly from HeadlocksAndHeadlines.com as they talk about every random thing going on within the WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, and the NorCal Independent Scene. Running the Ropes also features interviews with stars from the past.
It's me, it's me, it's the D-O-double-G, the Road Dog, Jesse James.
Present.
What's going on? This is Kazarian.
And this is the Fallen Angel, Christopher Daniels.
And future.
Hey guys, it's Rima Fatih.
And so much more. So join the guys every week on Running the Ropes, right here on the SNS Radio Network.
And now back to the open book on the SNS Radio Network.
And welcome back, guys. Of course, you have joined us on the Open Book right here on the SNS Radio Network. We are in segment 3 of a very sleepy Open Book. I actually feel like I'm very tired at this moment. So we're going to jump into our stories. I have a few stories, actually, for this segment. And Ashley does, of course, also. So let's go ahead and jump straight in. Ashley, straight to you.
Okay, the creator of Entourage, Doug Ellin, is apparently going to be writing and directing Bad Santa 2. It's an interesting move. I can't remember who was originally supposed to write it the first time around, but does it seem like a neat fit between Entourage and Bad Santa 2? I'm not sure, but we'll have to see. James Bobbin of the Muppets is apparently in talks to be directing Alice in Wonderland 2. He's also currently directing the Muppet sequel. I think Muppets Again, it's called. So that looks interesting. The directors of Contiki, which got an Oscar nomination. I don't think it won. Joachim Romming and Espen Sandberg have just got the job to direct Pirates of the Caribbean 5. Apparently, Contiki was basically about an explorer. I don't know if it was a documentary or not, but an explorer by the name of Thor Heyerdahl that basically sailed across the Pacific Ocean on a raft made of balsa wood. A little crazy. I'm not sure whether it's true or not. I didn't look into that. But pretty big deal for those two getting a pretty big job with Pirates 5, certainly. Apparently Grumpy Cat is getting its own movie. Don't ask me why the Grumpy Cat is.
I quit.
Yeah. I thought Trolls was bad. No, it got worse. Superman is going to be replacing Ethan Hunt as the Man from U.N.C.L.E. Basically, it's a story I didn't mention last week or a couple of weeks back that Tom Cruise dropped out of the Man from U.N.C.L.E. project. So Henry Cavill has stepped into the role apparently instead. Apparently Guy Ritchie's directing it as well. Which I'm a bit... Well, I'm kind of looking forward to because he hasn't done a bad job with Sherlock. But it's just every time I hear Guy Ritchie doing something, I'm just thinking it's going to be some sort of Cockney thing. Like most of his other stuff has been. Except Swept Away wasn't, because that was just... Oh, no, wait, that was a Madonna film. That was when he was still in love with her. A couple of interesting casting news for Guardians of the Galaxy. John C. Reilly is apparently going to be Roman Day, who's basically the Agent Coulson of the film. He's going to be a human agent, but he's going to be the liaison between S.H.I.E.L.D. and the Guardians. And the Nova Corps Centurion, the leader, apparently is going to be Glenn Close, which again, if you look at the lore of Guardians of the Galaxy, would be a switch. But interesting casting there. Was there another one, Sean, regarding Guardians?
Yes, there was. Apparently Doctor Who star Karen Gillan actually joins as a villain. The lead female villain, but they have not disclosed who it actually is.
Okay.
So, there you go. You actually have a Doctor Who star appearing in a Marvel superhero film. Apparently, the list has come up so far. I know you mentioned Glenn Close a second ago, but you have Chris Pratt, Dave Bautista, yes, that Bautista, Zoe Saldana, Michael Rooker, Ophelia Lovibond, not sure, Lee Pace, and of course Glenn Close.
And John C. Reilly, apparently.
There you go.
And the last bit of news from me, apparently Sam Mendes is reconsidering the role of being director for the next Bond film. Basically, the producers have said they're willing to wait for him to finish his theatre stuff and everything that he's working on in order to actually get him on board to do the next one because he did such a good job. Which would be interesting because it's the first time you will have seen a return director in consecutive Bond films since the 1980s, since Timothy Dalton's time as Bond. Okay, we've had directors do multiple times before because Martin Campbell did both Goldeneye and Casino Royale, but as I say, first time for about 25 years that you'll have concurrent films by the same director. I think concurrent's the right word. Consecutive, I don't know. But that's all stories for me. Sean?
Okay, I'm just looking at a few things. Apparently the new picture of the newly designed Optimus Prime from Transformers 4 has been leaked out. I don't like it. I don't like it. The whole pipes out of the top there, that doesn't look good at all. It's the only picture I've seen so far. I'll continue looking at what else they've got. Oh, look at that. There's a new one. There's another one. Well, let's see what we got. We've got pictures for two new vehicles. Never seen them before. They're green. There's a green and a blue one. I have a message, of course. I don't have a message. Sorry. If you're interested, I don't know who this picture of this guy is. It's very... weird picture. Apparently, WWE stars are lending their voice to an animated Flintstones project. We have John Cena, Vince McMahon, and CM Punk will become prehistoric versions of themselves. John Cena Stone, Vince McMagma, and CM Punk Rock when the modern Stone Age family visits their equivalent of a WWE match. Really? What the heck? I mean, I am laughing at that a little bit. I do think it's pretty cool, though, that they are doing that. And somebody posted, wait, The Rock isn't in this? That's just a name that is a name just to be made used in the Flintstones. Or Stone Cold Steve Austin. I mean, seriously. Where are these two? Get them in. They can be used. Stone Cold. Oh, wait. He's really Stone Cold. Can somebody get him out of there? Arnold Schwarzenegger has given an update on Terminator 5 and The Legend of Conan. He said, "We're writing it now on Terminator 5. There are three projects being written that involve me. One is Terminator 5. The other is a Conan film that Universal is doing. And there's a sequel, The Twins, which is called Triplets. We all look quite different in that. The third triplet is Eddie Murphy. So figure that one out." Really. I do want a new Terminator. I will say that. I'm looking forward to a new Terminator. Especially with the fact that the last one wasn't that good. Really. Apparently, Jackie Chan, Wesley Snipes, Nicolas Cage, and Mila Jovovich are all in negotiations.
Talks.
Yes, negotiations. Talks. For Expendables 3. Wow, I can't talk. So, I'm looking forward to that. Apparently, no one's sure on who's going to be in the new one. But I'm hoping somewhat for the last cast, because we did have Stallone, Jason Statham, Jet Li, Dolph Lundgren, Chuck Norris, if Chuck Norris is in it, he has to regrow the goatee. He has to regrow it. He cannot be without it. Nanyu, Randy Couture, Terry Crews, Liam Hemsworth, Jean-Claude Van Damme, Bruce Willis, and Arnold Schwarzenegger. Hemsworth didn't last that long, but eh. So I'm hoping at least for somewhat of them. Please, give me some. Michelle Rodriguez is on the cover for Machete Kills. Looks pretty cool. She's wearing an eye patch. She looks hot like usual. What can I say? And that's all I have as far as news stories. I'm going through comingsoon.net, taking a look at a few things. I do say I want to watch This Is the End. Have you seen that? Have you seen the trailer for it? It looks funny. It looks very funny. And I thought it was going to be like a spinoff of Scary Movie, but it looks more like it's trying to be a little serious, but trying to be stupid funny at the same time. I mean, the fact that
Emma Watson apparently comes around and is all nice and loving, and then just steals all their shit when they're sleeping.
Yeah, that's hilarious. And they're basically like Hermione Granger just stole all our stuff. Are you serious? It's absolutely hilarious. I am looking forward to it. I might see that one in theaters. I'm not sure, but I am looking.
I'm really intrigued to see what the hell the original one was.
What do you mean?
Well, originally it was a short movie, wasn't it?
I'm not sure.
They made a short. Rogan and Baruchel made a short movie in 2007 that was called Jay and Seth vs. the Apocalypse. Which is known to exist. And basically, that has become This Is the End. Because it's just two of the least likely men to survive the world. It's only an 8.5 short minute film. Two friends who have shut themselves in their apartment argue over potential escape plans. When the water collection system they've built on the roof gets clogged, one of them must face whatever's outside in order to fix it. The room's in the shambles. I'm trying to see if there's any details. They put the trailer up on YouTube, but the actual thing itself has never been officially put out anywhere. I'm guessing it could be a DVD Blu-ray extra.
Probably. Apparently, I'm really hating the fact I can't speak. Evangeline Lilly is playing Tarot in The Hobbit. Apparently, she's only she talks about the character a little bit, saying that she's a very young elf. She's only 600 years old, unlike Legolas, who's 1900, and Thranduil, who is actually 3000. Apparently, the character had to be a certain amount of grace, but also had to be an absolutely ruthless, deadly killer. I look forward to what her character is going to do. I'm looking forward to the rest of the Hobbits. I think we may actually have... I think we're going to have a good one. I'm looking forward to what it's going to be. I don't think... Yeah, I don't have anything else. I do apologize. I was looking forward... except for one more thing. Apparently, Joss Whedon showed up on Late Night with Jimmy Fallon, made some comments on Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver in Avengers 2, and pretty much said, yeah, it'd be cool to have them. Their powers are pretty visually awesome. So, yeah. So, it'd be interesting to see what if we get any more of that.
Oh, I'm just looking for IMDb. Apparently, one of the characters in This Is the End is called Rape Demon.
Well, it's funny you bring up demons, because apparently Anthony wants me to talk about Supernatural for a second. Okay. You don't have to twist my arm that much. I just finished the episode in Season 3 where... Actually, you know what? Before I do that, how can they call in, Ashley?
You can call in two different ways. One via Skype, adding the user Sunday Night Showdown, or you can call in to 501-588-7957. That's 501-588-7957.
Okay, so there we go. I have just finished the episode in Season 3 where they face off against the Coven of Witches. And the last person they actually do mess with is the demon. It's Dean's first time meeting Ruby, which I actually do like Ruby. She's pretty cool. I'm enjoying... Oh, that's interesting. Apparently IMDb has a spotlight on Firefly. That's interesting completely. I have enjoyed everything that I've seen so far in Supernatural. I will say that I'm starting to get a little tired of the character that is Sam. But I do like so far... My favorite episode so far has been Bedtime Stories because it was the entire Grimm's fairy tales, stuff like that. That was actually really good, really cool. I enjoyed it a lot. So, trying to figure out what else. The kids are all right. I liked because of the kids that... What is this? Dean's... Okay. Sorry, guys. I just had a bit of a momentary lapse. The kid that Dean ends up thinking is his is pretty funny. We do have a phone call on the line. I'm not sure who it is. So I guess we'll take the phone call and see what happens. Who is this, and what do you want?
Hey, yo, guys, what's going on tonight?
Okay, you're right, Brass Eye. It's L Train. What's up, man?
Not much. Just listening to the show tonight. Not a whole lot going on today. I know easily I could spout off about some stuff about Mirror's Edge 2, but I'm actually not going to do that tonight. I'm actually going to do something a little... I would say out of the blue, and I'm actually going to ask something that I was curious about involving Microsoft. I had seen a story earlier on in the week, and I'm not sure if I maybe missed it during the gaming segment or not. I was hearing something about some sort of unknown project or some new game possibly being made by Rare. I was wondering if you guys had known anything about that as far as details.
This was the story we talked about last week, actually. They have not made any comments on what, wow, that is crazy. They have made no comments on what it is. Dave Rare has only said that it's going to be a, actually, help me here if I'm wrong, it's going to be a historic property, supposedly a...
historic IP is what they've said. So
okay.
Either his historic as in it's an old one, or it's going to be something which is going to make history, like a new one.
Or it could be a property that's based in historic times. Never know.
Oh my God, they're developing Rise.
See, my only history with Rare, there's only one game I've ever played for them, and I know I'm not going to have any chance to play it, because if it, I think Rare is still somewhat owned by Microsoft, so any game that they would come out with would obviously most likely be on the Xbox One. But the only game that I've ever played by them was after I borrowed my buddy's old N64 and I played Conker's Bad Fur Day.
That's on the original Xbox, actually, I believe. So you can play it on the 360.
Well, yeah, I think they did something. It was like Conker Live and Reloaded or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Live and Reloaded, which really, it kind of took the name and just put really nothing to do with the original game with it, which is a kind of a shame.
It was kind of like remade or kind of like, you know, enhanced with graphics or something, right? And had multiplayer or something like that, like for Xbox Live.
It had a sort of they took one of the worst bits, which was like the multiplayer shooter bit, and decided to make it into a actual game, which I didn't honestly get, because I mean, the other franchise that you could see, considering it's been on 360 as well, is Banjo-Kazooie. We could have a fully fledged Banjo-Kazooie 3 of sorts. I think everybody's dream is GoldenEye like 2 or something, but you could. The thing is, do we dare say we want a resurrection of Perfect Dark? Because Perfect Dark Zero for the 360 launch was pretty pants.
What?
Perfect Dark Zero for the Xbox 360 launch title wasn't as good as Perfect Dark the original for the 64.
Okay, I just heard pretty pants, and that's all I heard. I was like, what?
Yeah. So. I didn't want to say crap or shit, because then that just brings me flashbacks to Conker's Bad Fur Day and the Great Mighty Pooh.
That was another thing that annoyed me about it. I saw the review, and I saw they pretty much did like they did the WWE PG form of censoring the attitude stuff. They freaking had a lot of the censored stuff from the old N64 game, and they kind of like, you know, had a little bleeping out and shit. I mean, even never having played the Xbox version, but remembering just some of the unbelievable things that I saw in the N64 version, I was shocked they did that, especially considering that raunchier stuff was on a Nintendo console and they censored it on the Xbox version.
Yeah, true. There could be a few huge swerves if you're talking really historic, because some of the stuff that they did back in the day of the NES... one was Battletoads, and another was Battletoads was a Rare game for pretty much every platform under the sun, and Battletoads and Double Dragon when they combined the two in the Battletoads universe.
Yeah, Battletoads was a Rare game.
Obviously, and Donkey Kong Country is kind of tied into Nintendo, so you're not going to see that.
It hasn't Killer even come out, so seriously?
Yeah. No, but Killer Instinct as well is obviously another one that's a big franchise for them. One that's also got a lot of interest because it's a cult following is Blast Corps that came out for the N64.
See, I got to look that one up because I have a feeling I played that one, but I'm not sure. And if it's the one I think it is, then I will definitely agree that we need. Yes, we need it. I want it. Give it back to me, please. I do remember that. That was a very fun game. I don't remember much of it. There was a space one that I played. I remember that. It was space. You built different units. You actually picked it up with your spacecraft, and you actually moved to different parts. And it was almost like a tower defense type game. But it was 3D. You built the stuff with your little buildings, and then you would pick it up with your spacecraft and then fly it to the point where you want it to be. And they would fly over and either get destroyed or destroy your stuff. And you could run around on the ground with a gun, too. So
God,
I can't remember.
There is an irony about me calling Perfect Dark Zero a pile of pants. Apparently in 2005, for the Game Boy Advance and THQ, Rare produced what was originally Donkey Kong Coconut Crackers, which then got renamed to It's Mr. Pants.
What the hell?
Yeah, apparently the starring... This is from Wiki, so this probably isn't Joe, but the starring character is basically the result of a poorly drawn image that was actually from their website that they used as a mascot for this, basically a survey of the site, you know, as to how to improve the website. So they decided to, after they lost the rights to using the Donkey Kong license, they decided to use this Mr. Pants character instead. Apparently he's had cameos in Banjo-Tooie and Banjo-Kazooie Nuts and Bolts and Jet Force Gemini. That might
Nate
be the one you're
chat,
thinking of.
That's not the game I'm talking about. But anyway. Yeah, I know the character you're talking about, Ashley. It's actually one of the reasons why I woke up like I did for a second. I was like, really? Pants? I got no emails either. L-Train. There's a question I want to ask you. Is there anything you want to say right now?
I know. I believe this is probably a good time. I can save over any follow-up gaming questions for next week when we get ever so closer to E3. But taking this time right now, I'll go ahead and, you know, take a little bit of what Sean would normally do at this time and, you know, encourage everyone who's part of the SNS four down group to get your picks in for Slammiversary, TNA's upcoming pay-per-view this Sunday. And be sure to also tune in to Sunday Night Showdown covering TNA Slammiversary, which will, as we know, be covered by the Bronx Father, who is actually kind enough to allow me to join him to cover the event. So in case you weren't hearing enough of my dulcet tones on Open Book every Friday calling in, you can also hear me cover the show with Bronx this Sunday evening.
You don't call in every week. I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, it's either call in or email, one or the other.
I enjoyed email. I didn't have to hear your voice.
Oh, all right. We're going to, you just demoted me to an Anthony-style insult. I cannot believe that.
Hey, at least I could say something. I do agree with Brass Eye and what he said. Unfortunately, you're on a phone. You can't see what he posted, but it was a very nice promo. Good job.
Hey, thanks, Brass. I appreciate it. I just hope that hopefully I can just keep up that kind of talking for about 3 hours. It's going to be interesting. I'm getting, by doing this, I'm actually getting to do what I thought I was going to do at WrestleMania and getting to call some action. So everybody just keep your fingers crossed that my curse doesn't cause some other kind of issue with the stream, and hopefully we'll get a show this Sunday.
Well, if you kill the stream off, then we know why we're not getting shows then. So,
third time unlucky.
Is it my white half or my black half that's causing that? I don't know.
Third time unlucky or something. Hopefully it works.
So I guess if you screw up again, that means the reserve team has to come in and clean up your mess. Okay. I'm fine with that.
That reminds me, apparently coming out for PC next month is Chemical Spill Simulator 2013. Why the fuck would you make a game of that?
Why would you know that? That's the question I want to ask.
Because I have to. Because I have the listings for games that are coming out over the next 6 months, so I know ahead of time, so I can occasionally, to fill in time, go, okay, this is coming out now. This is coming out on certain date and whatever. Because sometimes you don't see the press releases on the gaming websites They just randomly put it on Amazon and you discover it. Kind of like Mirror's Edge 2.
The fact that apparently there's a new expansion to Star Trek Online because it just took over the entire screen on IGN. That was... Okay, wow. I was trying to find the E3 stuff, but apparently they have a This Is the End review already up. I'll have to take a look at what's on that. I was trying to find E3 stuff to see what they had, but apparently I can't find anything yet.
I cannot wait for this year, man. I mean, I always look forward to E3 every year, and I guess I'll be hanging around online as long as I don't have to work and check out everything that's going on. I mean, I like... You know, I have a problem, you know, talking shit on Microsoft just because out of the three companies, I like them the least. But I, at least with the conference, I am going to be checking out to see what they do bring to the table. I mean, obviously, you know, Sony, I'm going to be looking forward to. EA, I'm going to be looking forward to. EA, don't fuck with me and try to make Mirror's Edge a freaking Xbox One exclusive, I swear to God. But I'm definitely going to be looking forward to seeing what Microsoft has. I mean... I think we've all been enjoying a lot of the memes that people have come up with as far as the conference they had a few weeks ago. But I don't know. I mean, like everybody's saying, they talked a lot about the console, which means for E3 there's going to be a lot of talk about the games. So hey, if there's some game that they actually have that I actually say it looks pretty damn cool, that's going to be something.
I think they've got something in the reserves that's going to kill any speculation that people are questioning on them. To Farley, who apparently is trying to call now, I'm going to say it like this. You can call in, but I do need you to be fast.
Yeah.
I want to be logged off of my laptop by 1 o'clock because I have another phone call.
He wants to keep watching Supernatural, Pete.
No, I want to play a little bit of XCOM before I have to go to bed.
Oh, okay.
I'm working my way through because apparently I can't beat the game on easy, apparently. The game is pretty hardcore, no matter what.
You can't beat the game on easy.
Dude.
Well, that's fair for something like XCOM.
Yeah.
Well, since Farley wants to get in, I'll go ahead and hang up. Hey, for Xbox One, I'll say this. If they actually do something funny to open up the press conference and come out with a video cassette that says Xbox One on it, I'll actually laugh and give them props. But that's going to do it for me, so I'll talk to you guys another time.
I am very tempted to actually mock up like an old VHS machine and kind of like put Xbox logos over it and then get a blank VHS and stick a label on it. And on the side, it says, you know, Call of Duty Ghosts. And then it's...
Ashley, you're fired.
And then it comes up like Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon.
Apparently,
God damn it, the tube's broken.
Apparently IGN gave this is the end 8.5.
Uh-oh.
So, looks pretty good. So
Eltrain, we're going to stay to see what repercussions might come from his comments.
No, we're going to say bye to Eltrain for the moment. Bye, Eltrain. Oh. We'll see you Sunday. Yeah. We do have another call on the line. We're going to go ahead and take that. I don't know who it is. I don't think I care. So, who is it, what do you want, and why should you stay on the line?
Hey there, Sean. Well, many times you've been mentioning me on the show, it feels right if I call in.
Well, it's been a while since you called in anyway, so I might as well mention you as many times as I want.
Oh, I didn't know you cared.
I don't, so don't worry. So, what's up?
First off, it's unfortunate I didn't listen to the gaming show that you guys did last week, but... I made no secret that I'm not much of a gamer, but I bet you guys would have made it interesting at least.
You might as well keep tuned for E3, because by the looks of Xbox's presentation of the last one, all you might be seeing is television for the 2 hours of the presentation, so you might as well stay tuned in.
I think we're probably going to end up having that week. Is there a pay-per-view that week, Ashley?
I don't think... Actually, there fucking is. Payback.
You bastards!
Okay. Crap. Okay. We gotta figure out what we're gonna do then.
It's also good that you're enjoying Supernatural, and if you like that one story... Well, what's the story you say you liked of the season so far?
The one with the Grimm's Fairy Tales.
Oh, that one. Wait till you get to Mystery Spot. If you like Groundhog's Day, I think you'll like that one.
Well, there was one you said, if I liked Haunted House, I would like it.
Oh, that's Ghost Pacers.
Okay. Because I liked Haunted House. Haunted House was good.
But I got to say, this one season I was worried about because of the whole writer's strike, did pretty good. I mean, they had one episode that was going to be their finale before it was resolved. So I think you'll enjoy this entire series, even though season six was probably the worst.
Well, I'm on season three. I'm working my way through an episode a day pretty much. So that's how it's pretty much going right now.
My sister just got through watching the whole up to the end of season 7 thanks to the TNT showings.
Well, I look forward to continuing on what's going on. thanks, Bressai. I'm looking forward to what's going on. Anything you want to talk about before we do end the show?
Nothing much. I heard, though, that After Earth, the Will Smith movie, wasn't that good. But that's pretty fine with me because the only movie I'm interested in seeing coming up is The Man of Steel. So
I want to see This Is the End. I may go see that next week. I'm not sure yet. So.
Oh, I thought you'd be a Hangover 3
fan. You can blame for After Earth. You know you can blame for After Earth, Will Smith, because it's his story.
Silence. Completely silence. Crickets everywhere.
All right, and my call and all that.
Okay.
And, God damn it, Bressai. All right, bye.
Later, man. That was Anthony. No, not silence. I did hear a cricket. Good one. So, with that, we will prepare to end the show. Of course, you can catch all the live. Yeah. About that.
wow.
You can catch Sunday Night Showdown every pay-per-view Sunday. This Sunday, you can, of course, catch Brock's Father and L-Train as they cover TNA's Slammiversary. You can catch The Open Book live every Friday at 10 p.m. Eastern. We are going to be switching over to 10 p.m. What podcast can they catch, Ashley?
Running the Ropes, probably not with Crelly next week, but Mav should be there, hopefully. That might be a live show. If it is, it's going to be at 4 Eastern, 1 Pacific. Then definitely podcast-wise, you've got Beyond the Bell, Sean Beckerman, the Elite Force podcast, the midweek with Chuck W, and the weekend with Walkie and Mindwipe. Hardboy might be back with Adam, Danny, and the Crow. So keep an eye out for that on the Facebook page if they have a new episode incoming. And the whole indie show with myself, Randy, and Sandro, which may get some sort of special, last-minute special episode in the midweek due to, well, let's just say, if we're going to use Doctor Who terminology, two time paths may be crossing.
And also, if you didn't know, the whole indie show actually made the first ever podcast on the air live last night. So congratulations to the boys.
No, that is not true.
I'm trying to figure out how to say that. What is, how do you say it?
Okay, normally whole indie show gets an airing, I should say, because it doesn't get a replay technically. On Saturdays, I believe it is.
Okay.
Last night, just because we haven't had any shows on the air at all this week, I, at a whim, just decided, oh, what the hell, let's play the new episode. That's all it was.
Okay.
Yeah.
It may happen again, it may not. I have no idea. It was just a whim.
It was just a one-off.
Maybe. We'll see.
It's like Behind the Cologne. It's like Behind the Candelabra. It's a one-off special. It won't happen again. Don't worry. You can go back to Game of Thrones next week.
We've got a permanent podcast schedule at this point, so you never know what might happen. You might get additional airings in the future, depending on the schedule. We'll just have to wait and see. But I don't think airing 3.5-hour shows is productive. You might want to scale them back just a little bit. Otherwise, you're going to start encroaching on open books territory and God knows, Sean and copyright infringement. Fuck. I'm going away. Bye.
I don't go that long, but I blame Ashley for most of it.
The guy that has quite a lot of the stories.
Yeah, you do. And I'm glad you do. I do want to say that I'm looking very forward to the Unplugged coming back this possible summer, maybe a little bit later. I know JJ has put it on hold right now.
This month.
What's that?
Some point this month is the plan, considering at least in the eastern United States it is the 1st of June now.
Hopefully. I do know that he's moving, so I look very forward to Unplugged coming back, only because I get to say something that I don't get to say very often. I get to say U4L, Unplugged for life. And you never know. There could be an invasion of the original crew on the first show. You never know what's going to happen. Ashley, before we turn off, anything you want to say?
Hope everybody enjoys the weekend. What was Slammiversary and Shikara? Again, cheap plug to that, but God, I'm looking forward to that show. And hope to see you all next week, where we will have the beginnings of E3 talk, because Konami's just being completely stupid and doing their E3 3 days before E3.
Of course, we will probably have a lot of news stories next week, because, like Ashley just said, this beginning of E3, we're going to have a lot of stories come up out of nowhere, probably a lot more spoilers, stuff just popping out of nowhere. So definitely take a look.
Mirror's Edge 2 will be added to every single site imaginable, including the FBI's website, just randomly.
Just a very weird text all of a sudden. Sorry, guys. What was I going to say?
You and your texts. Why can't I be that popular?
At least it's not like Brass Eye, who as soon as the show starts, you can hear his phone go off. And then it's like, ding! Oh, I know who that is.
She actually texted me when we were in pre-show saying she was going to bed. So she broke the tradition. But she did. But she'll be over here tomorrow, so nobody bother me, okay? Thank you.
There you go. I once again want everybody to keep Oklahoma and that entire region in the thoughts and prayers that you do have. They have a very long night ahead of them, so just keep them in the heads. And just remember, I mean, straight up, because there's a lot going on. I will say that the song of the night tonight is dedicated to all the listeners of the Open Book Archive, live, hell, even us as the staff of the Open Book. It's dedicated to you. So we will catch you guys next week right here on the SNS Radio Network. Peace.
Mowing my front lawn. I know they're all thinking I'm so white and nerdy.
Think I'm just too white and nerdy.
Think I'm just too white and nerdy.
Can't you see I'm white and nerdy?
Look at me, I'm white and nerdy.
I wanna roll with the gangsters, but so far they all think I'm too white and nerdy.
Think I'm just too white and nerdy.
Think I'm just too white and nerdy.
I'm just too white and nerdy.
Really, really.
At MIT, got skills, I'm a champion of D&D. MC Escher, that's my favorite MC. Keep your 40 out, just have an Earl Grey tea. My rims never spin, to the contrary, you'll find that they're quite stationary. All of my action figures are cherry, Stephen Hawking's in my library. My MySpace page is all totally pimped out, got people begging for my top 8 spaces. Yo, I know pie to 1,000 places, ain't got no grills, but I still wear braces. I order all of my sandwiches with mayonnaise. I'm a whiz at Minesweeper, I can play for days. Once you see my sweet moves, you're gonna stay amazed. My fingers moving so fast, I'll set the place ablaze. There's no killer app I haven't run, at Pascal, well I'm number one. Do vector calculus just for fun.
on. I ain't got a gap, but I got a soldering gun. Happy Days is my favorite theme song. I could sure kick your butt in a game of ping pong. I'll ace any trivia quiz you bring on. I'm fluent in JavaScript as well as Klingon. R.I.C.
You see me roll on my Segway. I know in my heart they think I'm wide and nerdy.
Think I'm just too wide and nerdy. Think I'm just too wide and nerdy. Can't you see I'm wide and nerdy? Look at me, I'm wide and nerdy.
I like to roll with the gangsters. Although it's apparent I'm too wide and nerdy.
Think I'm just too wide and nerdy. Think I'm just too wide and nerdy.
I'm just too wide and nerdy.
How'd I get so wide and nerdy?
Been browsing, inspecting X-Men comics, you know I collect them. The pens in my pocket, I must protect them. My ergonomic keyboard never leaves me bored. Shopping online for deals on some writable media. I edit Wikipedia. I memorize Holy Grail really well. I can recite it right now and have you ROTFLOL. I got a business doing websites. While friends need some code, who do they call? I do HTML for them all. Even made a homepage for my doll. Yo, I got myself a fanny pack. They were having a sale down at the Gap. Spend my nights with a roll of bubble wrap. Pop, pop, hope no one sees me getting freaky.
I'm nerdy, indie, extreme, and whiter than sour cream.
I was in AV club and glee club and even the chess team. Only question I ever thought was hard. What do I like, Kirk, or do I like Picard?
Spend every weekend at the Renaissance Fair. Got my name on my underwear. They see me strolling, they laughing, and rolling their eyes cause I'm so wide and nerdy.
Just because I'm wide and nerdy. Just because I'm wide and nerdy. All because I'm wide and nerdy. Holy cow, I'm wide and nerdy.
I wanna bowl with the gangsters. But oh well, it's obvious I'm wide.
Just too wide and nerdy. Think I'm just too wide and nerdy.
I'm just too wide and nerdy.
Look at me, I'm wide and nerdy.
I'm so wrong.